So good morning, everyone. So, in our team meetings, people ask us status. What is the status? So we used to tell them, yeah, we are in progress. The next question will be, when? You give me an estimate. Give me a timeline. So for the place, for the church, the timeline which we are expecting is this week or mostly next week. Okay, this week or mostly next week. 90% this week, we should get that place in hand. If not, mostly early next week. And for YMC and Ilshi, you all have to pray. Okay, so we are in a dilemma of getting the right people on board, right resource on board, right dates on board. The exams are starting for the children. Before Diwali vacation. So all those things are still, so we'll pray to God that God will give us the date. Okay, so that is something there. But before that, we are focusing everything to get that place, things done. And once we get that place, I would say that at that moment, you will get a message that we have received right now, before the second, we have received. And you can join us and come to that place. Okay, so that is something which will be there. And now let's come. And it's kind of the screen is shaking here and there. And I believe that the sermon will also kind of help us to stir us up, this morning. From past few weeks, we are talking about being truthful. Yes, being truthful. We started with how God wants us to be truthful. Okay, what is God's heart that God wants us to be truthful? Anyone wants to share anything which we heard on that day? God spoke to you on that day? Okay? Shake yourself up. Anything which you feel God spoke to you on that day? Okay? So on that day, we heard a message saying that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And then something was brought up saying that all the prophetic words, all the things which we hear from God, it is God who speaks. And we have to hear that as a truth. And we would hear a voice where it would be a lie to us, where the enemy, the Bible says, the enemy is a liar. He brings lies to us where we tend to not to believe in those words. Okay, that was the first week. The second week we saw truth, like as an individual, as a person, how do I acknowledge truth? Everyone is here. Truth means what? Everyone is here, right? Yes. As a person, how do I acknowledge truth? Anyone want to share anything which you remember? That's the reason now we need to enforce notes. So, our memory is so limited, right? Like, it says how much? 45 hours? You hear and you tend to forget. So, two weeks back, we heard as an individual, we heard about, Mephibosheth and David, right? Where he said something that I will do this, and he did it even after, he died, right? Jonathan died. And the third week, that is last week, we saw truth in a family. Okay, truth in a family. Yes, that's right. Truth in a family we saw. And we saw that how truth need to be brought in a family, like how much important it is and how much it will benefit, in a family when we bring truth. Okay, and this morning I'm going to talk about truth in the church. Okay, Renewed Hope Community. And we believe and we value truth. And I believe that, like, we all need to stir ourselves up this morning, which, God is going to speak to us. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, it said, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it is very simple, plain, saying that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the source of truth is Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. If you read John 1, it says, in the beginning there was Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what do we mean by truth? Truth is God himself. God's Word, which we hear, is truth. And this morning, what we can do is, we can tell your neighbor one absolute truth about yourself. Okay? One absolute truth, huh? absolute truth about yourself to your neighbor. And if you are close friends, say something which the other person does not know. Okay? One absolute truth about yourself. Okay? I'll give you some time. Think about it. Process it. One absolute truth about yourself. Tell your neighbor. And see to it that basically it is the truth. Tell something which is an absolute truth about yourself. You don't have to open some any secrets. It can be any likes, dislikes, something which is very common. I believe there are neighbors sitting next to you. Yes? Okay. Absolute truth. Absolute truth about yourself. Okay? People who don't want to share their truth, that means there are a lot of hidden truth in them. Okay. Yes? Absolute truth. So the other person, when you heard that truth, what did you feel? Or like when you heard it, how do you feel and what did you feel? Huh? Sorry? Scared. Someone felt scared. Okay. You feel good and you feel useful. Unbelievable. You know, aise kaise ho sakta hai? Chance hi nahi hai, yaar. Like, you know. Okay, that's good. You know, so truth is being highly recognized in our society, highly recognized in our families, highly recognized in our workplaces. Correct? Everywhere, people expect us to tell the truth. Your boss may say, tell me by when you are going to finish. And he or she is expecting you to tell the truth. Correct? At home, you have been called, you say, where are you? And what time are you going to reach? So you are expected to tell the truth. And it's a universal language. Everyone expects us to tell the truth. They want to basically know the truth. And this morning, we are going to look at truth when it comes. Where Jesus said, I'm the truth. How does it apply in the context of a church? That is you and me. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14-15, it says, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know the people out to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Okay? The great personality scholar Paul is writing this letter for Ephesians, referring to Timothy about it. He's saying, although I hope to come to you soon, Paul wants to meet them soon. He's saying, I'm giving you some instructions. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So what is the church according to Paul? It's the pillar and the foundation of truth. So if Paul is saying the pillar of foundation is of truth is the church, so it is the church responsibility to bring the truth to the world, to the city, and to our neighbors, to our families. And the stunning words, which we see, and he says, you should know how to conduct yourself in the household of God. The church of God, he's saying, is the pillar of truth, the support and the protector of the truth. And over the period of years, the church has been standing. If you read history, the church is the one who is the pillar of truth. Whether it is nations, people have come to the church for counseling. When it is war, people have come to the church and to the people of God for directions. So the church always stood and it's always going to stand as a pillar and the foundation of truth across people, across nations, across city. And it's Paul says, because of this household of God, you will know how to conduct yourself. That means the church brings the word, that is the truth, to people around us, and they would know basically how to conduct themselves. And we all struggle. Do you really want to know the truth? If someone is saying this to you, right, friends, we say, "Arey kya hua? What happened?" The person says, "Baad mein batata hoon, batati hoon. I will tell you now or later." So, do you really want to know the truth? Do we really want to know the truth? If your friend is saying that, like, "I'll tell you later. I'll tell you after some point." Do we really want to know the truth? Not always, I would say. "Bola theek hai, you tell me later. It's fine. I am okay if you're not saying this truth now." You know, when we drive, right? Everyone has car or bike, anything. Yes, we all have experiences. Riding, driving. Or like you may have also taken some public transport. So when you drive, when you ride, there's a sound which is coming, okay? And you're not able to see that sound or hear that sound from where it is coming, and you don't know, and you just hear that sound. So what would be your first reaction to that sound? What would be the first reaction or the or instant reaction to that sound? You're riding or you're driving. Aapke gaadi se ya bike se, there is some noise, some sound which is coming. What would be your first reaction? Sorry? Slow down to stop to hear. Okay. That's one way of reacting. Sorry? To know from where it is coming. Sorry? Continue driving. Yes? Check with someone who knows. You're on transit. And check with someone who knows, okay? Who will ask someone who is sitting next to you, you see what is happening, okay? Getting frustrated, okay? Okay. So usually when you hear certain noise and all, you continue driving. Kuch nahi hai re, nut bolt kuch to, you know. Kuch to lose hai yaar, itna din se main chala raha hoon, chala rahi hoon, nothing, there is no. And because we tend to, we have been brought up or we know that we are not willing to know the truth. And because we really don't want to know the truth at that time. Because when I'm riding, when I'm driving, I know if I know the truth, it will cost me. My engine ka kharcha hai. So let me ignore this and see. You know, there is a 5,000, 10,000, kuch to bada kharcha. So I tend to not to know. And I tend to ignore because I know there's a cost associated. There would be a cost associated to it. And I would conveniently ignore it. And I would say, baad mein dekhte hain, or we will see. And it is called as willful ignorance. Tell your neighbor, what is it called? Willful ignorance. So you have decided willingly to ignore what is happening. Okay? That there is a truth which is there, but you are willingly deciding that you don't want to know the truth. This morning, what is that my unwillingness which is not allowing me to hear the truth? Maybe we are in a phase where God is speaking to us. What is it that which is my unwillingness to hear the truth this morning? Willingly, okay? There is a problem which exists, but I am willingly, I don't want to hear that truth. It can be something which God spoke to you very clearly. Something which God spoke to you very clearly, but you are unwilling or you are ignoring that truth. And what is that this morning? And this words, these questions, and all this have not come from, you know, somewhere and we just bring it. It is the word of God. It is the inspiration. It is something which God wants to hear. God wants his people to hear. I always tell people, theological differences you may have with this statement. You know, you can't crucify me for this. But I always tell people that God loves the other side of a pulpit more than the person who is standing here. God loves this side of the people who are sitting than the person who is standing this side, that is me or anyone. Because God's word is the ratio, 1:N. So God wants to bring his word this morning. What is it you are willingly this morning decided that I don't want to know this truth? What is it? And maybe that can unlock you this morning and bring life to you. Because Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth. And the second one is there something I'm being challenged, discipled, encouraged, or corrected where I willingly know I have, it's the truth, but I don't want to know the truth? That is the community. We all come together and God is speaking to us on this aspect of truth this morning. Maybe in our families, maybe in our home, maybe as a person, you're outside the corporates, outside the world. What is it where you are willingly defaulting to hear that truth which God is speaking to us, which our leaders are speaking to us? You know, I always say we are a church of people of different denominations, different backgrounds, different age groups. We come from different states. You know, everyone carries different perspective of truth. Everyone has different values when we talk about truth. Some of them may say truth is okay, lie is okay, unless and until it is benefiting the other person. Hindi mein kahawat hai, I don't know. Ek jhoot bolke means 1,000 jhoot bolke. If you say 1,000 lies and that helps for a marriage, it is good. I hope that you have, you know, all have heard this, right? No, is the maine suna aisa lag raha hai mere ko. Theek hai. So, so we come from a different background, different denomination, different perspective, different family, different, you know, we have been taught. But that is not the absolute truth. That's something which we are bringing it in and saying that this can be truth, or this is not truth, but this can help someone. And there is where the wider body of Christ, that is the church, comes into picture to bring this truth to his people, to you and me. There is where the church comes in place. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. In him was life, and that life was a light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not covering it. When Jesus is referring himself as I am the way and I am the truth, and when we look at John 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breath, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So whatever the word of God says this morning, it is the truth. Whatever we are reading, if I'm reading, I am the way, the truth, and life, that is the word of God, which is the truth. Not believing it or adding to it or extracting things which we want, that is not the truth. Okay, so let's come to the church context. You know, Over the period of time, the church has evolved and being pressured in such a way that there are possibilities that the church may know the truth, that is the word of God, that is the heart of God, but the church may not bring it up front, or being hesitant to please people, to offend their beliefs and the world systems. Okay, so over the period of time, the church has evolved, and we have come to a 20th century, and now there is a lot of pressure on the church that the church knows the truth, but the church may not bring the truth up front because of many reasons. I'm not saying the church does not need to be sensitive, but I'm saying the church should not please people. The church needs to bring the truth. There are many reasons the church may become silent, even though knowing the truth. Okay? The church may be silent or become silent over the period of years or in the coming year, or we can become silent because of few reasons which I have put it. Okay? This is my personal experience. You can add, delete, whatever you need. In the church, there would be influencers who controlled the church. Okay? If the truth is not coming out, means someone, a very influential person in the church, maybe they are giving a lot of money to the church as an offering, or they have helped a lot of people, and the church is very reluctant to bring the truth to that family or to that person, and the church becomes silent. The church thinks that relationship comes first, then the truth. We call ourselves as a very highly relational church. Renewed Hope Community is a highly relational church. Highly, okay? So the church may remain silent because the church may think that relationship should come first, then the truth. When I'm referring to truth, I'm referring to the word of God. God's standards, the heart of God. The church may have financial losses. If we tell the truth today to people, they may leave the church, and the church may maybe hit because of financial issue. The church may have a severe financial issue. The church may remain silent because everyone in the world believes that. Now things are changing. iPhone 16 is coming, AI is coming, so we also need. So things are changing. We need to evolve, and everyone in the world believes in it. My Christian friends believes in it. So majority of my church believes in it. So the church remains silent, does not bring the truth. The church, does not bring the truth because everyone calls the church being outdated. Means you are all hold the old technology, old laws of the scriptures. Things have changed and evolved over the period of years. The church has not changed themselves. So people may call the church that you being outdated. So the church may be very hesitant to bring the truth because they may feel, hey, if we tell the truth, people will think that, it is being outdated. Big judgmental. There are possibilities when the church brings truth to people, and, they may think, the other person may think that we are being very judgmental to them. And the church does not want to bring the truth because people will take that as a judgmental to them, and the church remains silent. Loss of peace. The church keeps quiet and quiet and quiet because does not want to stir the peace of the church. Does not want to stir the peace of the family which God has given. So the church remains silent, and the truth is not brought. Okay? These are few reasons which I have thought. You can add many more reasons, or you can remove many of the reasons, or you may bring many more reasons, I believe. And as a personally, just a background, I work as a senior manager. We work among VPs of the company, been born and brought up in Mumbai. But I have a problem. I, studied in the best college of Mumbai. But I have a problem when people talk about same-sex marriage. I don't make them saying that, you know, I hate you, but I say I love you. But I have a problem because the scripture doesn't talk about it. And the church need to accept people, but the church need to base their value on the foundation of Christ. You know, I have a problem. I've been living with people. You know, I have stayed outside. But I have a problem when I have a problem, okay? You take me on accountable. You know, maybe I'm outdated. I'm being very judgmental to people. I have a problem if people are in live-in relationship. They are staying without marriage together. The problem I have is because the scripture does not talk about it. And if the church does not bring this, then the church remains silent on that issues. You may call us outdated. As I said, we have been very much exposed. Before we all are learning AI, we all are working on AI. We have been developing AIs. We know the heart of AI. I'm just saying, like, technology-wise, things, you know, what's happening, what's working out, people coming in the church, what kind of people are coming in the church. We have been very loving, very kind. We never judge people who come from that background. But we tell people that it does not support. You know, we had a couple coming here who were they were in living relationship. They've been part of our church. But whenever we got an opportunity, we loved them, we cared for them. The first call we used to get from them, anything happens in their home. But we used to always tell them, we love you, but we want you to get married first. So we don't have problem with people and the way they do things, but the scripture is not brought, then there is where the biggest problem arises. Why is Paul saying the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth? Because the church played a vital role over the period of years. It's not an NGO, it's not people, it's the church who stood against abortion. It's the church who have inspired what we call as social service. It did not exist before, but it was the church who brought this concept. So the church is the one where the world looks at it and see what is there. And they search for the truth when they come to church. And they want to know where is the truth, because they know the church is the foundation of truth. And the church is the lens. You know, this is a very good, you know, imaginary picture. When I talk about same-sex marriage, when I talk about living relationship, is people are confused and they want to know the truth. Is the church who brings the lens, loves them, and shows them clearly the truth. It is through the church lens, it is the source of truth for the people. It is the clarity which the church gives. When I say church, it is us, the people here. We are the one who become a lens and make it clear to them so that they see it clearly. And there is where the church needs to stand. It's a lens and source. People want to know, what is the truth? You tell us. We are ready to hear. I'll tell you, people are still searching for the truth. You know, I had a conversation with a lot of people from same sex, different sex, all of them. Everyone wants to know the truth. Tell me what we are doing is correct. Tell me what we are doing is wrong. If wrong, why wrong? Everyone is behind to know the truth. And it's the church, that is you and me, should bring people. The church accepts those people as their own. And we as a church need to have that lens. We accept people as their own, but we do not believe in what they are believing. We accept them, but our values, our foundation, that is based on the word of God And there is where, as a church, we need to stand. The church should be the lens from where people will see the truth. The church will be the lens from where people will see the truth. So tell your neighbor, that is, church is me. And people are looking for that lens for clarity. I'm not saying people are ignorant. People are still looking for clarity. People who are walking in that relationship still looking for clarity, and they want some clear picture. And there is where, as a church, you and me come in that place and bring the truth to them. And the church was founded on truth. The church is to be known as the house of truth. And the church is committed of proclamation of the truth. And if you are not concerned about the truth, then I would say that we are not doing church at all. We are living in one of the things where our values will be challenged. We are living in one of the times where modern technology will take over things on us, the way we think. You know, you talk something and you open your phone and open your browser, you will see the same thing, what you spoke and what you wanted to hear. And there is where we are leading. And there is where God expects us that we need to know the truth. And as I said, compromising relationship relationship comes first. All that is okay. But we need to know that the truth is the word of God. Anything other than that, it is just people have built on top of it. The church needs to stand on truth. The church needs to stand on truth. You know, in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2 and 5, it says, preach the word, be prepared in a season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when people will put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they are itching to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head at all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Such an important verse for us as a church, that is you and me. It says, be prepared for the season and out of season. Careful instructions, because the time is coming when people will put up sound doctrine, that is the word of God, aside. And they will love to hear what the other person wants us to hear. So things are changing. So we would be in a place where we would tell people what they want to hear because of relationship. We said, right, the church remains silent. That means you and me remain silent. So Paul wants us that as time progresses, people will abandon the truth, that is sound doctrine. And they would only want to hear things that are agreeable to their desires, which are turning away from the truth. This would be a challenging time, and this is a challenging time for all of us to speak the truth. But how do I say the truth? You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead speaking the truth in love. I will not go to anyone where I see something and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong and this is not truth and this is not right. God will allow us to build such a good friendship, such a good relationship with them, that they would know that we really love and care for them. And there is where the church needs to progress The church needs to progress our relationship in love with the world outside, not compromising with our values. And there is where we can speak in love, bring the truth in love. So don't be charged of saying that, like, you know, I have to speak the truth and I have to speak the truth. First question is, do you love that person? Do you care for that person? Do you expect that person to hear from you? If the person doesn't want to hear from you, then what are the efforts are you putting to for that person to hear from you? So build a good relationship instead of speaking the truth in love. The person should trust, and you should also trust the person, that whatever the person responds, I'm ready to take. So that is the reason the church is the lens for the world. And the world is looking for truth and asking that, show us the truth. And they're knocking the doors of the church. That is you and me. You know, many of us, in our church, or like, you know, people come to us for counseling, direction, and asking our thoughts for the future. And, you know, they need some guidance. So our response are primarily based, you know, myself and Sandra, our response are primarily based on two parts. One is our understanding of the scripture before we direct them, counsel them, tell them what we feel. Second is what God has put us in our minds and heart for that other person before we respond to that person. So when people know about it, so many people, they don't come again to us. Okay? So they know that this guy is not going to listen to me what I'm going to say. I will avoid. So many people don't come again to us because we did not speak to them what they want to hear. And many of them in the first place, they don't even want to try it because they know that they are going to speak something opposite of what I am planning. But I'll tell you, truth is so important. We as a church has to stand for truth. And I as a pastor, or like, you know, God has placed us today as the pastor. So I have to speak truth, or we have to speak truth, or else our role is null and void. I can sit in a corporate office and give good gyans. But, you know, primarily people don't want to hear the truth. And as I said, secondly, they don't want to even come because they know that it will contradict to what they are saying. That is the story. You know, we don't speak truth. But I would guarantee you come, we'll speak to you in truth and in love as well. And why do we exchange truth with lie? In Romans 1:25, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. So they want to hear that lie that, yes, don't worry, this what you're taking, the step is right. Because they want to believe on the created things of theirs than what the Creator is saying. And there is where people hold back or don't want to know the truth. Willingful defaulters. Okay? Don't want to know the truth. You know, speak the truth in action, and God's truth will prevail. In other words, you may believe in the truth, but if you don't speak and act on it, the truth is not honored. I may know certain things about certain person and I want to help that other person. If that is not come, then the truth is of no value. So always remember, as a church, we need to bring the truth. And the lens is us to make it clear to someone who is looking. And we are the one, that is the church, has that role where we make it clear for the other person that this is the truth. We're going to look at one scripture portion which we all are aware. I'll tell brief this story, and after that we'll end this message from God for us this morning. There are two lovely couples, one lovely couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, so what they did, they sold a piece of land. Let's say they had a land of theirs, and let's say, which is the famous tower here? Sanoj will say Marathon, but which one? Solitaire. Oh, okay. So let's say Peace Park is on sale, and Ananias and Sapphira held this property. And the property costed, or someone wanted to buy it for 10 crores. Okay, they want to sell for 10 crores. And before that, there is a huge thing which has happened here is, everyone, all the church, they all came together, they brought whatever money they had, and they gave it to Peter's feet. Okay, basically the church. The church was there. Everyone came, they whatever they had, they sold it, whatever money they had, they sold it and they brought it to the church. They said, use it for the ministry and the people and all of them. And this one lovely couple, Ananias and Sapphira, saw all this. They also had a property, Peace Park, for example, 10 crores. So they went and they sold this property for 10 crores. Okay. Now they brought it to the church. Means pulpit mein aaya, not Virgil, Peter is standing. Okay. And they are saying, take this. Okay. 9.99 crore. Take this. This is the property which we sold and we want to give it to the church. How much? 9 crore 99 lakhs. Okay. It is their property, right? It is their property, their thing. And they gave 9 crore 99 lakhs. 1 crore they kept it for future investment. 1 lakh they kept it for future investment. Okay. And when they brought, Peter asked, is it all the money did you bring it? Property kiska hai? Yes. Who asked them to give? No one. They only decided to sell. They only brought it. Jada nahi, pura leke ke diya, but 1 lakh rakha, future investment, health issues, insurance, kuch monthly premium bharne ka rahega. I'm just giving, and this one. It's not that they cheated completely, but they brought everything, but it was not full. Peter said, this is the amount, the entire amount. He said, yes. I said, why did you lie? And the person died. 2 minutes mein uski wife aati hai church mein, and she also comes. And she say, and Peter asks again, this is all the money which you had? She says, yes. She also dies. Okay? And what they do, the people take this body, and the Bible says they took the body outside, that is outside the Peace Park, and they buried them. Okay? So remember this. No one told them to sell it. It is their own property. But the problem was truth. The problem was truth. We can't fool God. And especially God, church mein. God is interested in 0.0001 or 0.00, whatever it is, not about money. God is interested in watching over this, over the church and money. And this sudden dramatic deaths of these two people, the Bible says there was a fear in the church. Okay? It says there was fear in the church. Yeah, verse 10. It says, at that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church, and who heard about this events. Okay? Just think about this concept where God expects truth, their money, their desire to give. But anything which is not an absolute truth, God hates. how do I define absolute truth? It's through the word of God. You know, it's a very sad story, because the next Sunday when people would be entering the church, they'll be walking through the graveyard of Ananias and Sapphira just outside the church. And you look at the way God acknowledges truth in the lives of people when church comes. The church comes. God has a special heart for the community, for the church. As I said, huge responsibility. Nations, look at the church. I want to see through the lens of church. What do you believe? Tell us. And there is where our role is. And in renewed hope community, we need to build a culture of truth. We need to build a culture of being truthful, of truth. We need to be truthful of our values. If we are saying that we follow this, we need to be truthful. We say we are serving, we need to be truthful. We need to know our values right as the church. And God, as I said, God has a heart. And I'm telling you, God loves our church abundantly. Today when we were praising, rebuilding the temple of praise, and suddenly we thought about that place which we are going to buy. And, you know, that just came up. So I'm just saying, God loves the people, loves the church. Truthful of our values. We need to bring the truthful of our struggles. When we coming here, you need prayer. You need to say, I need prayer. If you're down, you have to say, I'm down. I need prayer. I am struggling. Please help me out. A culture will set our future of our church. Being truthful. Truthful in our teachings. We need to bring the word of God plain, clear, contextually rich to the people and to the world. We need to be truthful to each other as well. We need to take our relationship very much, because it is the body of Christ. God has formed this body, and we need to be truthful with each other inside the church. We should be truthful to our leadership as well. Why all this? Because Colossians 1, verse 15 and 20, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. As he is the head of the body, that is the church, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things on heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In verse 18 it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. We all are here. Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of Renewed Hope Community. And through Renewed Hope Community, the world wants to look or search for the truth, so that we would be the lens and people see a church. People see truth through this community, through this people who all are in. Amen? Amen. And that is where God is leading us. Being truthful in your family. Being truthful as a person. Whether you are in the house, whether you are in corporate. Be truthful to the word of God, which God is saying to you. Be truthful to that. And being truthful to the church. As we make ourselves truthful, people would see through the lens and they want to know the truth more. Can we all rise up? This morning, we are going to break bread. We are going to take part in something which Jesus said. Do this in remembrance of me. I'll call the worship team to come on stage. And it's precious. It is important. And the scripture says that it needs to be done in reverence. As Christ this morning dwells in this place, we reflect back on ourselves, especially in the aspect of truth. God's been speaking to us from last 4 weeks on this aspect of truth. And what is it which God is speaking to us? Christ himself died for us. He gave his blood on the cross for us. Not for anyone. You know, there's a saying, it's saying, even only if you were in this world, existed, only you, still Christ may have chosen himself to hang himself on the cross. That is the love of Christ. And Jesus called his disciples, called all of them in a room, and today we are in that room. And he looked at each one of them, at one of them, and you know, he cleansed their feet. He loved them, and he knew that they will one day realize the cost which he is going to pay on the cross. And he called himself, he says, sit. And this morning, God is asking each one of us, my son, my daughter, I have paid it all on the cross for you. And we'll sing this song in reverence. And because we are moving towards something which God is leading us very supernaturally. May we know the importance of the cross. May we be aware of the love of God towards us. Or else everything will remain null and void. As we sing this song, we'll worship. And then what I'll do is we'll break the bread, give them, and then till the time the emblems are passed by, then we'll sing the song. Yeah. On that day, Jesus took the bread. After he gave thanks, he broke it and he gave thanks. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he said, this is my blood, which has been shed on the cross for your forgiveness of your sins. And he said this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. What we are going to do, church, this morning, we are going to remember how much Christ loved us. We are going to remember how bad we were. And today, how good he has made us. We will remember that we are full of guilt, shame, and condemnation. But Christ set us free this morning. We will remember that we have a Father whom we can call anytime, any place, anywhere. That is the truth. So, as we take this bread and the juice with us, we just hold on to it. We'll sing this song. And as a church, in the end, we all together will take part in it.
truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace dawn here, and bless your name.
Christ is our King, the boss of our life, the boss of our family. If it is not, this is a time where we can say, Lord, I recommit myself and I ask you to, Lord, fill me again. The cross is precious and it has been shared personally. The blood was shed personally for you. This morning, we all come together in remembrance. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Lamb of God, the author of salvation, the way, truth, and life. And we believe in Him. Not only He died, He promised eternal life for us. He said, whoever believes in me will never die but live again. As we remember as a body of Christ, we will acknowledge that we will walk in truth. We will live our life in truth. And we will be a source to people who are searching for truth. With that, let's all take together and we'll do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. Thank you for reminding us we have been purchased by your blood. While we were in our darkest sin, Christ died for us. There was nothing in us that we should have been called righteous, but it was only grace we have been saved. And Lord, thank you for that command which you gave to your disciples and you said, your people that remember this, remember me, do this in remembrance of you. Lord, we remember you as a church. You died, you saved us, you resurrected. And Lord, we all wait for that day when you're going to come again. May the love of the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will remain with us for now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining. Have fellowship with each other. Thank you.